Arter's Omnibus, 28 November to 3 December 1999.
Look, Mrs. Aldridge.
She's taking that water out of North Africa and you didn't think to tell us.
I don't think we're going to get anywhere by shouting at each other.
Come on, Jenny.
No, I won't come on, Brian. I can't believe you allow this to happen. I can't believe it.
I thought Kate would have told you.
Well, she didn't tell us, did she? She stuck a note under the kitchen door, which I didn't find until last night. Would you like to see what it says?
Now, Jenny, calm down a bit.
The note, Roy.
Well, how about I make a nice cup of tea?
I don't want any tea, thank you, Betty. I want Roy to read the note.
Gone away for a while. Roy has details. Love, Kate.
And now you tell me she's taken Phoebe, my granddaughter, to Morocco, of all places. And that you knew on Friday. Why didn't you come and warn us?
Because it wasn't for me to warn you, OK?
All right, Roy.
And in case you hadn't noticed, I'm Phoebe's father, and I'm just as upset about the whole thing as you are.
Well, then the question that's begging to be asked is why on earth didn't you stop her?
Yes!
How was I supposed to stop her?
Oh, for heaven's sake!
Well, you know what she's like.
Well, you seem to be able to manage pretty well before. Hey, good grief. Just after the baby was born, you had solicitors and all sorts preventing you from even going to France.
Yeah, well, that was different.
Oh, yeah? In what way?
Hello? Saw your car outside of the...
Well, she said I had to trust her. That she and Phoebe would be coming back.
I see.
Oh, Roy, I'm so sorry.
Sorry?
Well, forgive me, but your Kate's hardly been that responsible in the past, has she?
Oh, fine. Well, if we're on the subject of responsibility, it might have been responsible for Roy to tell us what's happening.
Hey, look, hang on. Roy ain't duty-bound to come and tell you when Kate decides to go off on one of her jaunts. You can't blame him.
No one's blaming Roy.
All right, what it sounds like to me.
Well, if we'd known, we could have talked to her at least.
Look, can we all please try and keep calm? Look, why don't we sit down while I get the kettle on?
Yeah. Yeah, good idea, love.
Well, thanks, Betty. Yeah, we can't stay for long, I'm afraid. I have to see Greg about tomorrow's shoot.
Well, I'm sorry, but... Well, I just think maybe I could have done something. Oh,
there wasn't any talking to her, honest. I mean, nothing I could say anyway.
Well, I'm Kate's mother, Roy. She might have talked to me.
Look, she really didn't say why she was going or how long for.
Like I told you. She said she was suffocating here, so she needed to get away. And she just said she'll be back in the new year sometime. Oh, and that she'll get in contact as soon as they get there.
So all we can do is wait till she does.
Roy, and in the meantime, let's have a little bit less of deciding whose fault it is, shall we?
Might fancy a cup of coffee?
Yeah, just what the doctor ordered. Be with you in a minute, love. Just put it on the side if you want.
Okay. Is there something wrong with the feeder?
Just recalibrating it, that's all.
Oh, your mother's just been on the phone.
Yeah.
She wanted to know what we were doing about our silver wedding anniversary. So?
So what?
So what are we going to do?
Well, don't know. I haven't been very inspired, I'm afraid. Helen was talking about it a while ago.
Yeah, she mentioned it to me too.
Have you had any thoughts?
Not really. It's quite soon now. It'd be nice to do something.
Mm.
Look, have this coffee before it gets cold.
What? Oh, yeah, right, okay. What do you think about going out somewhere? For a meal, I mean. At least you wouldn't have to do anything.
You think we'd be able to book somewhere at this time of year?
Well, I'm sure Jack will arrange to squeeze us in at Grey Gables if we ask him nicely.
Oh, well, that sounds good to me. Right then, next question. Who are we going to invite?
I thought we'd agreed on immediate family only.
Yeah, but we know Lillian won't come.
Which leaves the kids and Jack and Mum, of course.
And Brian and Jennifer.
Yeah, I suppose it does, really.
Tony, it was your idea. You said we can't not invite them because it would be petty.
I know.
No doubt you'll still be gloating about Tommy's not guilty verdict.
No, I won't.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. But it's our silver wedding anniversary, Pat. I want to be able to relax.
Oh, so do I, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, Brian glowering at Tommy across the dinner table all evening isn't going to help my digestion, is it?
No, it's not. So what are we going to do?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to invite them and then give them the satisfaction of turning the invitation down either.
Oh, don't be stupid. Even they aren't that petty.
Why not? I am.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. No, but seriously, the more I think about it, well, maybe a bit more water needs to pass under the bridge before we all start socialising.
Jenny? Sorry, I just kept
passing. Thanks. Oh, hello. How did it go with Greg?
Oh, all right, I suppose. I've had to park practically in the centre of the village. Aren't usually this many people here, are there?
Well, it's the first Sunday of Advent. It's always a very popular service. Yeah,
so I can see. But why you were so keen to come?
I told you. I'd planned to bring Phoebe.
Well, exactly.
Oh, God.
Just being practical, darling. What was the point of coming with Phoebe not here?
Because I felt the need to follow it through, I suppose. And because I just wanted somewhere to sit and think about what's happened.
Huh.
Christopher Carter lit an Advent candle.
Did he?
I wonder if Phoebe will ever get the chance.
Oh, can't see Kate being too keen on that.
Phoebe's just at the age to start appreciating Christmas. I don't suppose it's even worth wrapping her presents now.
Oh, come on, they'll be back.
How do you know?
Well, she's always come back in the past.
The worst thing is, I'm afraid it might have been my fault.
What? Oh, don't be ridiculous.
Well, I don't think I am being ridiculous. Kate felt trapped here, you know, smothered. Well, who is it she complains fusses all the time? And what if I'm one of the things that's driven her out, Brian?
Look, is this the conclusion you came to in church? That Kate upping sticks is all your fault?
Well,
Jenny, you've never been anything but supportive of her. Kate's reason for going will only ever be clear to one person, Kate herself.
Well, I can't see it that way, Brian. I can't just dismiss her leaving as, well, as one of those things.
I'm not being dismissive, darling. But let's face it, you and I have spent many a long year trying to glean what Kate actually wants out of life. And we still haven't managed to come up with an answer.
She's taken the baby to Morocco, of all places. You might at least try and sound a bit concerned.
I am concerned, Jenny. Of course I'm concerned. But I'm not going to blame myself. Or anyone else for that matter. Neither should you. I mean, look, with a bit of luck, she'll commune with the sun goddess or whatever she's planning to do over there and be back with Phoebe in time for Christmas.
I wish I shared your optimism.
It's like Mike said. Let's wait until we get word before we start panicking, shall we?
I shouldn't have gone on at Roy like I did this morning.
Oh, Roy's a big lad. He'll get over it. Now, let's get in the car.
Well, flipping annoys me, that's all. Coming in here, shouting the odds and blaming our Roy. As if it was his fault.
Yeah, well, obviously came as a bit of a shock to her.
Come as a shock to us and all. We can go sounding off at them. And we know who's really to blame in all this, don't we?
You finished yet?
What? Oh, yeah, sure. Just about.
Well, pass your plate, then.
Ta.
I wonder where they are now.
Kate and Phoebe. You and me both.
I mean, why did you have to choose somewhere like Morocco?
Search me.
Well, don't you have to have jobs and stuff when you go there?
Who knows? Probably.
Which means the baby's even more at risk.
Well, come on, Phoebe ain't a baby.
Oh, she's not far from it. She's little enough for her there'd be no difference. Oh, for goodness sake, couldn't she have chosen somewhere a bit nearer, a bit safer?
You know what madam's like. I mean, I can't say I'm surprised this has happened, Betty.
Oh, I know.
Of course, I kept a lid on it this morning when the Aldridge was round here.
Yeah, you were very good.
Considering what I wanted to say to him. I mean, I just wish Roy'd never got involved with the girl, I really do. And then coming here and implying it's his fault, well...
That's a good job you kept your mouth shut then, isn't it?
Ain't going to be much of a 50th birthday for me this week, is it? I mean, I know I won't feel like celebrating.
Well, I suppose any of us will.
Honestly, that flipping paid Aldridge.
Oh, don't start again, love. I'm sick of you going on about.
Oh, blimey, Arku's talking.
Oh, what do you mean?
Most of last week. Couldn't come home in the house without finding you slagging her off to Susan Carter over the phone.
Well, you know why that was. She's been an absolute pain to work with these last few weeks. Now we've got to try and work out what to do without her.
Blimey, hadn't thought of that.
Well, she was supposed to be doing some extra shifts this week to make up for the one she's missed.
Well, you have to use Susan again, won't you?
Can't. She's already taken a load of hours from the surgery to help me out. They won't let her have any more.
Then you have got a problem.
Oh, we'll be all right tomorrow, but come Wednesday, I'm really going to need some help. Well, Susan definitely won't be available, she told me.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to talk to Jack Woolley about it.
Right, thanks, Kathy. We'll sit over here.
Oh, hello, Roy. It's a bit crowded. Do you mind if we join you?
No, you go ahead. I'm going in a minute anyway.
You all right, Roy? You look like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders.
I've had better days, to be honest, tell me.
Oh, dear.
What's happened?
Well, I suppose I'd better tell you. Be all over the village within a day or so anyway, and it is your family after all.
What do you mean, my family?
Kate's done a runner.
Kate's what?
She's gone. I went over Friday night to find her packing to leave. For Morocco, if you please.
Morocco?
Yeah. And she doesn't know when she's coming back, neither.
But what about...
Phoebe? Oh, she's gone as well. I tried to persuade Kate to leave her here, but she wasn't having any of it, so... That's Christmas down the pan, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, Roy.
And of course, everyone blames me, because I didn't stop her going. So I thought I'd come to the Bull and have a think. On my own.
Blimey, Roy. What can I say? I'm sorry.
It's not your fault, is it?
Would you like a drink or something?
Yeah, we were going to have something to eat. Why don't you join us?
No, no. You're all right, Tony. Don't think I'd be much company right at the moment. Best be on my way anyway, yeah. I'll see you around.
Ah, yeah, all right. Bye.
Bye, Roy.
Bye.
Well, there's a turn up for the books. You know, I sometimes wonder if Kate does this sort of thing for effect.
Yeah.
Whenever she's not getting enough attention, she does something which is guaranteed to make everyone talk about her.
And her family agonise. Poor Jennifer.
Oh, true. What she must be going through right now.
Oh, she'd be out of her mind. So will Betty, of course.
Yeah. Look, about Jennifer. Maybe I am being a bit petty. I mean, now this has happened, maybe it is time we built a few bridges.
I don't think we should be the ones to keep a family squabble going.
No. So, if I invited her and Brian to this anniversary do, do you think they would take it as a sort of olive branch?
I think we should give it a try.
Yeah, all right. I'll give Jennifer a ring and invite them.
There you, Mary.
Yeah, I'm just off now, Joe. Can you keep an eye out for Mrs. Snell? Said she'd drop off a copy of the Parish Magazine for me.
What do you want that for, bloomin' load of old rubbish?
It's the Christmas issue. Last one of the millennium. I want to keep it. It's a souvenir. She says it's got all sorts in this time.
Oh, yeah? Like what? It, heart of teeth for you, dear. Would you clearly know?
Oh, right. There you go. Well, Mrs. Snell's written a piece all about what's happened in the village during the last year.
We bet tenant farmers being on the brink of financial ruin for most of it won't get a mention.
And Janet Fisher's written a piece on the importance of the millennium for Christians.
Yeah, well, she can afford to pontificate, can't she?
So mostly, just want to see if our advert for the turkeys has come out all right. So anyway, if you could just keep an eye out for us.
Yeah, I suppose
right,
so.
Then I'll be on.
Oh, hang about, Perry Luffer. Before you go...
Well, what is it, Joe? I made myself like talking to you.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could do us a favour.
Oh, yeah, what?
You couldn't see your way clear to... Well, I mean, when you got the odd moment...
Joe!
You couldn't knock us up a little summit with your needle and thread, could you?
Knock at what, exactly?
The Father Christmas outfit.
You what?
Yeah, well, I wanted to wear it for the special farmer's market next week.
You can whistle. Yeah. You got any idea how long it'd take to knock her?
You'll go on, Clarina.
No, Joe, now, if you don't mind, I've got to go to work.
It's for the good of the farm, you know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Gonna be very big, that farmer's market. All sorts of Christmas goods on sale. Thought I'd use the outfit to help shift some of our produce, that's all. Give us the edge, if you know what I mean.
But you can't expect me to make one up from scratch, Joe. I ain't got the time.
Yeah, well supposing I managed to borrow one from somewhere. Couldn't you let it in or take it out, make sure it fits me, like?
Oh, all right. I'll see what I can do.
You're a good girl.
I ain't making no promises.
Well, of course not, of course not. We're all doing our bit, aren't we, for the farm? Actually, come to think of it, I might not be in if the Snell woman calls round.
Eh?
Because I'll be out doing me bit.
It, Josh, kick the straw around. Then the cows will have something to walk on when they come back from milking. There's a good boy.
Hello, anybody about?
Oh, in here, Chris.
Oh, so this is where you're hiding.
Hello there, Josh.
Hello.
We're helping out while Daddy's away for the morning, aren't we, Josh?
Ah, I was going to say, this isn't usually your department, is it, Jill?
No, but Josh wanted to do a job for Daddy.
Oh.
Looks as if you're having fun.
So where's David gone?
Here, I'm meeting about this lamb marketing idea of theirs with Debbie and the two other sheep farmers who are involved.
Ah.
We can go up to the house and have a coffee if you like.
Oh, no thanks, Jill. I'm due to meet Brian in a few minutes.
Oh.
I've just brought something for you in your capacity as wardrobe mistress for Babes in the Wood.
Oh, it's arrived, has it?
Yes. I brought you the head of Towser the dog.
Oh, gosh. What do you think of that, Josh? Not much, obviously.
Neither does his great-uncle George, but you'll be pleased to know it just about fits.
OK, thanks, Chris. If you leave it on our kitchen table, I'll put it with the other costumes later.
There is just one problem.
Yes?
Yes, it seems the director, in her infinite wisdom, has decided to use all the talents of her actors.
Which means what exactly?
She's given George, or rather Towser, a cornet solo.
Good heavens! But how's George supposed to blow his cornet wearing this? Not to mention his paws.
That was his worry. He wondered if you couldn't put a hole somewhere.
Well, I'll leave it with me. I'll see what I can do.
Oh, thanks, Jill. It looks like it's going to be quite a show this year, isn't it?
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it. Linda's pulling out all the stops for the millennium. The twins will be here by then, won't they?
So they will. How is Elizabeth?
Oh, she's marvellous, really, Chris. And she's being well supported. She seems to see the midwife every 5 minutes now.
That's the way it should be. Oh, wasn't the Advent service lovely yesterday?
Was, wasn't it? Janet's organising a nativity play this year with Loxie Barrett School.
Oh, is she?
Yes. Pip and Daniel both want to be in it.
I've been meaning to ask you, how are Daniel's hedgehogs doing?
Pretty well, I think, considering everything. Alice is keeping an eye on them. They were a good weight, so there's hope.
He did a good job there. It's not easy.
Jill, we've just had a call from the Echo. Oh, hello, Chris. Didn't know you were here.
Hello, Phil. Flying visit.
Oh, you're doing a grand job there, Josh. Well done.
What did the Echo want?
Oh, some query over billing. The wording you've chosen means the advert's running to an extra line.
Which will cost more, I suppose.
Well, more than they originally quoted you, yes. Anyway, I said you'd ring them.
Are you selling something, Jill?
Yes, my beekeeping equipment, I'm afraid.
Really? What on earth for?
Well, I keep saying.
Well, I'm not terribly happy about it, Chris, but the problem is it's become a nuisance. I haven't the time for it.
Oh, that's a shame. Oh, look, I'm going to be late if I don't get a move on. I'll see you both soon. Yeah. Bye.
Bye, Chris. You know, love...
I think you've got
another visitor. They're in here, Joe.
Oh, thank you very much, Mrs.
Bye.
Bye. Mr. and Mrs. Philibank, good morning and compliments of the season.
Hello, Joe.
Hello. What can we do for you?
More a question of what I can do for you. I want to know if any of this house wishes to buy some of Grange Farm's finest apple brandy for the Yuletide season. Only £10 a bottle.
Actually, Eddie tried to sell me a bottle yesterday afternoon, Joe. I told him I thought it was unwise to try selling unlicensed alcohol to a former magistrate.
So that's a maybe, then?
Yes, I believe we're free, then.
Only me, just thought I...
Oh, of course, I'll have to talk to Brian about his schedule, but otherwise I'm sure he'll be able to come. Yes. Oh, well, thanks very much. Bye. No, Chris, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's me who interrupted. I hope it wasn't anything important.
No. Bit of a surprise, that's all. Tony inviting us to their silver wedding anniversary.
Oh, good. You two have started making up, have you?
Maybe. Tony sounded a bit awkward, but, well, it's a start anyway. Oh, would you like a cup of coffee?
Oh, just had one with Brian, thanks.
Yes, of course. We finished the meeting.
Yes. I just thought I'd pop in and say hello before heading back to the stables.
Oh, that's nice of you.
So, how are you?
Oh, all right, I suppose. Tony's invitations made me a little bit more cheerful, at least.
I take it there's still no news of Kate?
No, nothing. Of course, I shouldn't be surprised. I know what she's like.
Oh, I'm sure you'll hear something soon.
Well, I wouldn't count on it, Chris. I really wouldn't. When she did her last disappearing act, it never occurred to her we might be worried.
Oh, come on. That was a good few years ago. Kate's a lot more grown up these days.
Well, I hope so, for Phoebe's sake, if nothing else. Anyway, enough of my troubles. How are things with you? You busy?
As a matter of fact, I could do with your help.
Yes, what with?
Well, I was at a WI meeting last week in the village hall and someone, I can't remember who, made a comment about the old photo that's on the left as you go in.
A photo?
You know, it's of the whole village.
Oh, yes, I know the one you mean. I came across it when I was researching the book, the history I did of Ambridge with John Tregoran.
Yes. The photo was taken in 1900.
So, what about it?
Well, someone mentioned the fact that other villages are trying to get a village photo taken for the millennium. I thought it might be a good thing to do in Ambridge.
Yes, it's a nice idea.
We could compare the photo with the one taken in 1900 and see how many relatives of the people in it still live here.
Well, it sounds interesting, but you'd need somebody to organise.
Oh, I thought with your knowledge of local history, it'd be just the project for you.
Oh, Chris, I really can't think of taking on something like that now.
Why not?
Well, with Kate and Phoebe gone...
It won't do you any harm to do something that'll take your mind off your troubles, will it? And let's face it, you're perfect for the job. You wrote that history of the village.
Yes, I suppose I am rather well qualified, aren't I? Look, I'll think about it.
That's the spirit. Now, I really ought to be going.
Chris, no, you're still here.
Just opposite happened. I'll see myself out. Bye.
Bye, Chris.
Bye. Right, darling, I'm off to Borchard in a minute. Thought I'd warn you, I won't be around for lunch.
OK, but before you go, Brian, can you check your diary to see we're free on the 12th?
Why, what's happening?
You've been invited to Tony and Pat's silver wedding anniversary meal at Grey Gables.
What?
I think we should go.
Oh, come on, Jenny. Do you really want to spend an evening with Pat and Tony? More importantly, Tommy, after all that's happened?
At least they're making an effort.
Well, look, I'd really rather not go if it's all the same to you.
Ah, something smells good. Mince pies.
That's right. I'm making a double batch for the freezer. It's going to be a packed house for Christmas this year after all.
Yeah, to make a nice change after last year.
I'm really looking forward to it. Of course, I shall miss Ruth, David and the children. But we'll have Daniel. And, of course, two new grandchildren, won't we?
And their proud new parents. And their other grandmother.
Don't worry. I'm sure Julia will be too over the moon herself to misbehave. And there'll be Alistair and Shula to entertain her as well.
Mm. Where's Josh, by the way?
Having a little pre-lunch nap. I think our hard work this morning tired him out.
Speaking of lunch...
Don't worry, I haven't forgotten you. I've just finished cutting out these and then I'll sort something.
Right you up. Jill?
Hmm?
About the bees.
Oh, I never phone a newspaper. I must do it this afternoon.
Well, look, I've been thinking. You don't really want to give them up, do you?
No, I don't, to be honest. I've always enjoyed having them. Giving them up feels a bit like the top of a slippery slope.
Well, then I think you should cancel the advert.
Phil?
No, really. And don't tell me you're always too busy to do them properly.
Well, I am.
Well, then I'll help you.
Really?
Well, yes, of course. The last thing I wanted to do is feel you're getting old.
Are you sure?
Look, ring the paper this afternoon and cancel that advertisement.
I will. And thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Oh. No, no. You stay there. I'll get it. Oh.
Hello, Mrs.
Joe. Are you all right?
I'm fine. Just had a few nips to keep out the cold, so...
What can we do for you, Joe?
More a question of what I can do for you. I want to know if any of this house wishes to buy Summer Grange Farm's finest apple brandy for the Yuletide season. Hang on. I've been here before, haven't I?
Lizzie?
Shh, go to sleep.
What time is it?
About 5 o'clock.
What are you doing?
Reading. I can't sleep.
You're supposed to be getting proper rest.
Well, I'm awake now. I'm all right.
Is that the rare breeds in fair your father brought over?
Yes. So?
Look, Lizzie. You're supposed to be resting all the time. Now I've woken up at 5 o'clock in the morning to find you doing research for our expansion plans.
Go temp us, Nigel, please.
You're all right, aren't you?
I'm fine.
I ought to tell Tim on you. He's coming for a checkup tomorrow. Sorry, today, isn't he?
Yes. Look, it's not work, really. It's very interesting. I've read so many magazines lately, I can't bear to pick up another one. Or one of those awful romances your mother keeps bringing me to read. Besides, we have to make a decision about this sooner rather than later.
I just think...
Nigel, there's another 2 hours before you've got to get up. Why don't you go back to sleep and let me just read?
All right. But we'll discuss this later on. That folder's going to have to go back to your father. I can see that now.
Go to sleep.
Okay. See you in a couple of hours, then.
What's all this, then?
Hello, dear. Sorry about the mess.
You haven't forgotten we're all supposed to be meeting about the pigs.
Ah, Ruth, you're here. You don't mind us repairing the beekeeping equipment while we talk, do you?
No.
I found the spare Stanley knife, Jill.
Mm.
As you can see, Ruth, it's quite a job.
Can I have a coffee?
If you like.
But it might be better to wait until we finish the really messy bit.
Okay. I thought you were going to knock the beekeeping thing on the head. You said it was too much hassle.
I did think that, but...
And I persuaded her it might be something we could do together. It'd be a shame to abandon it after all the work that's been put in.
So I've cancelled the advertisement. I phoned the newspaper this morning. The poor young man seemed a bit put out. It was just before their cancellation deadline.
I see.
Where's David got to?
Oh, just having a look at one of the cows. He'll be along in a minute.
All right, then.
How did he get on at his meeting yesterday about the lamb?
Oh, pretty good, I think.
Oh, they've elected Nick Spring as chair, haven't they?
That's right.
What's the name of the other chap again?
Bill Oldfield. Anyway, David and Debbie are going to approach a butcher in Felpersham to see if they're interested in test marketing to a few posh hotels and restaurants.
Sorry I'm late, everyone.
Oh, hi.
Good grief, what a mess. I thought we were all supposed to be having a meeting here.
We are.
You can just as easily talk about the pigs while your mother and I scrape out the hive frames.
Okay.
How's Elsie?
I want to get another look at her foot later if I can. Ugh. There's a load of dead larvae in here.
Don't make such a fuss.
Well, it's hardly conducive to talking business, is it?
Well, there's not that much to talk about, really, is there? I mean, it's not as if we haven't been through the different arguments quite a few times already.
Oh, I meant to that.
We've not been that bad, have we?
Not much.
So, what we've got to decide is which one of the options regarding the pigs we're going for and when.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
But Tickham's now working on turning up the picnic area, and I've had my phone conversation with the sign-writing man. Our refurbished nature trail is finally underway.
Great.
So I'm all yours. You and I can talk rare breeds. Although, officially, it's work, and you really should...
Nigel, it's just talking.
Fair enough. And as you were the one reading up on the subject in the small hours, maybe you should tell me which ones you think we should go for.
Right. Well, we're agreed we're going to have Midland rare breeds, yes?
Fine.
Well, I thought we could maybe have some Gloucester cattle. Let me have a look.
Sounds good.
Some Cotswold sheep and some Tamworth pigs. Hang on, I'll find them in a minute.
It's okay, I know what they look like, sort of tanned.
Oh, yes, and I thought possibly some of these lovely Derbyshire red cap hens.
Oh, yes, they're rather fun, aren't they? And that's all, is it?
I think that's enough to be going on with, don't you?
Yes, I suppose so.
You sound disappointed.
Well, you did seem keen on that long-haired breed of sheep, and I thought they looked rather splendid. You know, the ones with dreadlocks.
The Wensleydales, yes. They're not a Midlands breed.
Do we really have to be quite so dogmatic about it? I mean, we'll have Ellie Mae and Joseph anyway, and their breed isn't from around here.
Ellie Mae and Joseph are different, they're family. I just think if we try and stick to a themed set of rare breeds, it might make Lower Loxley more of an attraction, and it's also something we can take further if we find it's being successful.
When we find it being successful, you mean?
Sorry, when?
Yeah. I think on reflection you're right. Midlands breeds it is. What time's turned you, by the way?
About half an hour, why?
Well, this rare breed thing seems pretty much under control, so I'll start the ball rolling as soon as I drop this folder back at Brookfield. I'll leave you in peace with him.
I'm sure Dad's not in a huge rush for it.
No, but I'm in a huge rush to stop you doing anything stressful. The more of this stuff I can get out of the house, the less likely I am to find you reading it in bed during the dawn chorus.
Honestly, I was just looking at it for something to do.
Anyway, while I'm at Brookfield, I can give them all a progress report. I can tell them all about how fed up you are with your swollen ankles and that I've finally succeeded in getting you to relax a bit. Lizzie, are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
Well, you don't look it. Are you sure?
Yes, honestly. I'm just feeling a bit breathless, that's all.
Look, remember what Dr. Rose said. Do you want me to call Tim?
No, there's no need. He'll be here in half an hour anyway. I'll tell him then. Honestly.
Promise me you will talk to him about it.
Of course I will. Even though it's most likely to be nothing.
Yes, but...
I'll tell him, Nigel, okay? You get off to Brookfield. I'll see you when you get back.
Come on, Elsie, in you go. You're not telling me you're surprised. Oh, all right, old girl. All right, come on.
Of course I'm not surprised as such. Gotcha. No, it's just... As you know, I've always had my reservations.
What?
But if everybody wants to expand the pig enterprise, then that's what we'll do. Come on, Elga. I mean, if you all want 100+ sows, 100+ sows it is. Can you winch your foot up, girl?
Okay.
Besides, I always knew Dad would rather cut off his own hand than lose the pig.
What's she looking like? Vet job?
No. Where's my pocket knife? Let's just cut away a bit here.
There, Elsie'd soon be over. So, Philip better speak to Neil again.
Yeah.
Oh, one of us could do it.
No, I think Dad's keen to do it himself. He does kind of see the pigs as his department.
True.
I'll tell you something else. If we're going to expand the pigs, we will make sure you do the marketing, right?
Ah, we're ahead of you there.
Oh, yeah?
I've been looking into Felpersham Meat. They supply a lot of the local supermarkets. I think they might be interested in taking the Holly Tree Bakers.
Oh, great. Guess you'd better approach them as soon as possible, then. Afternoon.
Oh, hi, Nigel.
Hi, Nigel.
Ooh, what's the matter with her? Is it the Baffert?
Yeah. Abandoned my sister, have you?
Take no notice of him.
Right, you can let her foot down now.
All right.
Just returning this folder to your dad's. It's an info he lent us on rare breeds last week.
You're a bit quick off the mark, aren't you? I don't think he wanted it back that urgently.
No, but I did.
Sorry.
Nigel.
Oh, hello, Jill.
Nigel, I've just had Elizabeth on the phone.
Oh, yes?
Now, she said you're not to panic.
Oh, my God, what's happened?
She needs you to get back home. Tim wanted to see the cardiologist right away. She needs you to run at a Borchester General.
The cardiologist?
Yes, it's about these palpitations she's been having.
Oh, God! David, take the file.
Yeah, right.
Jill, can you ring her back and tell her I'll be there as soon as I can?
Yeah, well, don't drive like a mad thing, Nigel. We need you to get there in one piece.
Let us know what's going on when you can.
I should have gone with him.
I think they're best handling it on their own, Mum.
Yes, but...
they'll call you if they need you.
OK. I'll just have a listen to your heart now.
I still can't believe you didn't tell me, Lizzie.
Nigel.
Well...
would you mind, Mr. Pargeter? If that helps if I'm able to hear.
Sorry.
OK. Right, and you say you started getting the palpitations this morning?
Yes, very early. It was quite noticeable.
And did you feel dizzy?
Yes. It was a bit strange. I mean, you didn't expect to feel faint when you're lying in bed.
And you never said anything.
Well, they didn't last long. They'd gone by the time you woke up. I felt a bit better, so I thought I'd have a read.
And you've been breathless as well, yes?
Yes. I won't have to go into hospital yet, will I?
Well, OK. But please remember that I did ask you to phone me or your GP at once if you felt any palpitations. So you must do that if they happen again.
And tell me, too.
That leaky valve is causing a few problems.
Is it? My dear.
Nigel.
But nothing we can't control. Put simply, the pregnancy's putting a tremendous strain on that valve and consequently your heart. It's made worse by the fact you're having twins. The swollen ankles are a symptom of the same thing. It's why yours are comparatively worse than the average pregnant woman.
So it's serious, then?
It's potentially serious. It's certainly something that needs very careful monitoring.
So what should Lizzie do?
Go to bed is a simple answer to that. Elizabeth, you need bed rest. And by that I mean go to bed, stay there and do absolutely nothing else, OK?
Yes.
I want to see you again next week. And I'll say it again. If you have any more palpitations, however slight, you're to call me or Dr. Hathaway immediately.
I'll make sure she does.
Try to relax and not get stressed. Now, I'm just going to find a porter in a wheelchair so we can wheel you to your car, OK? I'll be a minute.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I can't believe you didn't say anything. I did ask if you were all right, Lizzie. You should have told me how bad it was. I ought to be cross with you, you know.
It wasn't bad. I thought it was nothing. I didn't want to frighten you.
Nigel. Come on. It's all right.
It's not all right. I really hoped I was going to do away with it, you know. I thought I was going to have a normal pregnancy. Or comparatively normal anyway.
Lizzie, darling, you've done wonderfully well. And we're near there. It won't be long before they're born. All you've got to do is stay in bed and relax. And I'll do everything else.
That's easy to say.
I mean it. I'm going to supervise everything. Even more than I did before. Work and the cooking. Bills the lot. I'll control your visitors. And if you're lucky, I might even ban Mummy to the cellar until the baby's born, okay?
Okay.
Oh, look, was that the ghost of a smile?
I love you, Nigel.
I love you too. And don't worry, Lizzie. I'll look after you.
What are you like?
Yeah, I managed to finish a bit early for a change.
Yeah, I was going to say. Come on, then. Sit down. I got you a birthday breakfast. Oh. Proper fry-up, special treat. You don't get to be 50 every day, after all.
Thanks, love. If it's all the same to you, just have a couple of slices of toast.
Hey, I'm offering you a cooked breakfast. You know you're not allowed one normally.
Yeah, I know, but well, if I have a fry-up, I'll only be paying for it later.
Oh, well, you're the best, eh, boy? A couple of slices of toast it is, then.
Tell her, love.
Not exactly what I'd call a celebration breakfast, but it's up to you.
Yeah, well, I don't really feel like celebrating, do I?
Oh, come on. You're not going to be like this all day. Now, open your cars. I didn't put them there for you to ignore them.
I don't know all the fuss is about. I mean, it's only a birthday, just like any other.
No, it's not.
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Archer.
Oh, nice of him to remember.
Yeah, I suppose.
Look, we're all worried about Phoebe. That doesn't mean we have to be miserable.
Well, ain't just me, you know. Can't imagine Roy and Brenda being raised in sunshine either. I mean, I had planned to have a bit of a knees up, you know.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Fancy taking a photo of us all. Three generations of Tuckers. Well, ain't worth it then, is it?
Well, who's that from? Looks a bit posh.
Well, it's because it is. Many happy returns from Roy and Jennifer and family. Well, that's big of them.
Look, you can't blame the Aldridges for what's happened.
I don't know. Well, who was it brought up that basket case daughter of theirs, then, eh? Who else should I blame? Wouldn't have happened with one of ours. You'd never get Roy or Brenda swan enough to find themselves, would you?
Oh, please, snack out of it. If I thought you were going to be like this, I would have got the morning off.
Oh. Oh, I didn't realise you'd done that.
Well, I was supposed to be working. I had to jump through all sorts of hoops to get someone to cover in the shop. So I could do you a birthday breakfast, and then what happens? I end up sticking two pieces of bread in the toaster while you moan on about the Aldridges. Here you are.
I'm sorry, love.
Oh, don't apologise. You're only saying what everyone's feeling.
Hang on, no. I thought you had staffing problems.
Yeah, I do, now that Kate's gone.
So you've got to cover in the shop.
Morning, Linda. What can I do for you?
Hey, Mr. Woolley. What are you doing behind the counter?
Betty's got a few staffing problems this week, so I'm helping out.
I see.
Besides, I'm not terribly busy at the moment. So, here I am, ready to serve.
Well, then. Well, I'm not a complicated customer today. Just these, please.
Oh.
Thank you, Jack.
Right, that's 170, please.
Fine. Here we are.
Oh, right. I thought you weren't having words at first last night. Oh, dear.
Yes. Oh, I'd be a whole lot happier if I could find someone to play Alan or Dale.
This keeps happening today.
I'd thought of asking Roy, but every time I see him at work, he seems to run in the other direction.
Oh, I'm sorry, Linda. Have you got anything smaller than that? The right one here. It'd be ever so helpful. I can't seem to get the till open.
Oh, dear. No, I'm sorry. This is all I've got.
Oh, well, not to worry. I won't take your money now. I'll just write your name down on my pad here and how much you owe. L. Snell, 170. Ah. It's not the first time it's happened to me today.
Yeah, sure it isn't. Morning, Mr. Woolley. Hello, Linda.
Oh, Betty, just in time.
Why? What's happened?
Mr. Woolley's been having a little trouble with the till.
Had all sorts of problems this morning, Betty. Had to sell people their goods on tick.
Really?
Mm.
Well, let me just hang this up and then I'll have a look.
Poor Linda's been waiting for her change.
Oh, don't worry about me.
There we go. How much do we owe, Linda?
Well, if we put Linda's fiver in, she owes us 170. That's,
£3.30 exactly.
Oh.
There we are, Linda.
Thank you, Betty. Well, bye for now, Jack.
Bye. Is this the list of people who owe us, Mr. Woolley?
That's right, Bertie. Problem?
Well...
Come on, I'll be honest.
Do you think it was wise to let Joe Grundy have his tobacco for free?
Oh, well, I'm sure he'll pay up at some point.
Mm, yeah, but quite frankly, I'd half a mind not to let him have anything from here, paid or otherwise. Not till either he or Eddie come and take away those bottles of apple brandy.
Oh, yes, you told me. I forgot, sorry. By the way, did I mention I will be around at lunchtime?
No.
Only I've got a meeting at Grey Gables with Lewis and some people from the Landmark Trust.
Oh, but I'm expecting a big delivery at one, and I'll need a hand with the lunchtime rush in here.
Well, I can't cancel, I'm afraid. Not at this late stage. It's about the future of Arkwright Hall.
Oh, just have to manage them, won't I?
You'll be fine. That's why I have you in charge here. You're so competent.
What time did you say we'd be at the abattoir?
No, 8:30. We've got plenty of time.
All right.
Come on, let's be having you. Can you be ready with the turkey now? Here it goes.
That's it. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I got it. Now, other way, you tough animals.
Right, ready when you are.
There you go.
Thanks. By the way, be prepared for a few firewoods when you get there. They're the ones anyway.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, with this new order of sausages for Howard Friend, we're going to have to keep a whole lot more pork back than usual to keep up with the demand.
And you'll be telling Bill this tonight, will you?
Yep. And you know what he's like.
Well, I can't say I envy you, Tommy.
I know, but it's got to be done if I'm going to keep the customer supplied.
Looks like you better get them extra saves in ASAP, don't it?
Oh, that was something else I was going to talk to you about.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner I move, the sooner I can up the wheat production.
That's okay by me. Doesn't look like you have any problems shifting the stuff, does it?
Don't worry about that, Neil. I've already got more demand than I can cope with, and I've got a feeling it's the way things are going to be from now on.
How do you mean,
Betty? Oh, hello, Mr. Woolley. Nice long lunch, was it?
Yes, I'm a bit later than I thought I'd be. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
It went ever so well, actually. The trustees were very sort of... They asked all about the alterations we'd done and the special features of Arkwright Hall. And they'll tell us whether they're interested in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
Is that a note, Pound?
Yes, it is, as it happens, Mr. Woolley. I'm just trying to work out how much we're owed.
Oh, should be simple enough. I'll write everything down for you.
Well, then we're owed nearly £200.
Hey?
Not a bad take for 3 hours of a Wednesday morning. Probably a record, I'd say.
That can't be right.
I'm using a calculator, Mr. Woolley. I mean, you're perfectly welcome to show me where I've gone right.
Hang on. Let's have a look. Oh, here's the first mistake. I've written Mr. Pullen down twice. I must have thought I'd forgotten the first time, or something. And he paid his paper bill.
Oh, well, I'm glad it's all right, then.
Oh, here, look. I've put a decimal point in the wrong place. Honestly, Bertie, you should have been able to see that.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, Mrs. Antrobus is never going to spend £78 on shopping in here, is she?
No, I suppose not.
Oh, fancy.
Afternoon.
Hello, Tommy.
Hello, Tommy. What can I do for you?
I'll serve Tommy, shall I, Mr. Woolley?
Oh, good idea, Betty. I'd better concentrate on finding out where you've gone wrong.
Where are
you? Actually, it's you have come to see Betty. It's about your sausage order for this month.
Oh, peanuts, really? 40p? That doesn't sound right.
It's just I'll only be able to let you have a few packs.
Oh, no, really?
Sorry.
Oh, I mean,
Christmas is coming up. They're bound to sell well.
David Archer doesn't smoke, so that can't be right.
The trouble is, I've got this new big customer, and I can't keep up with the demand at the moment. It's only temporary.
Oh, hang on. We're a regular customer. How come we don't get priority?
Look, I'm really sorry for the inconvenience.
Right, if I add that...
As soon as I'm able to up the production, I will.
And take away that.
But in the meantime, I'm just having to spread out my produce as thinly as I can.
Well, don't bother me, Tommy, but I think maybe your granddad will have something to say about it.
Mm. Me? I think I'll let you deal with it, Becky. Like I said earlier, you're in charge.
Could I have a little quiet, please? A little quiet. Thank you. Right. Now, Anna Dale says, I know the very folk to cheer your spirits, little ones. And cue music, which in our case we have not got. Yet. Oh, never mind, it's wetted on you. And, right. Enter, gentlemen. Gentlemen!
We are the merry men.
No! How many more time?
Oh, blimey, what was wrong then? Coming on time, didn't we? On the music cue, you say?
Yes, I know, but you're the merry men.
That's so.
You're supposed to come on with a bit of bravado, a bit of derring-do.
Well, I don't recommend any derring-do.
Above all, you're supposed to be merry.
Oh, if I was being merry.
Yeah, me too. Please, you're coming on like you're taking part in a Greek tragedy.
Great things are going here, won't be far from the truth, eh?
Oh, thank you for that vote of confidence, Mike. Now look, this is the big build-up to your song with Alan Adale.
But in our case, we have not got
it. It's all right, I know, I'm working on it. Now look, I don't have time to keep rehearsing this one scene. Please, try and psych yourselves into these roles or I shall have to rename you Robin Hood's Band of Moody Men. Now, can we take a few minutes, people? I just want to pick words with you about the costumes,
I'm beginning to regret signing up for this.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm doing me best. And I've had enough of being shouted at for one day. Your Tommy recovered, has he, from the tongue lashing he got from Bill at the abattoir this morning?
Oh, yeah. He told me that Bill wasn't happy.
He was really annoyed. Mm. Said how he'd help Tommy and John before him get set up and all. Tommy stood his ground, though.
And did he? Well, he's got to, really. This Howard Friend order's pretty big. Mm. I mean, I'm glad...
But you're still not sure about Howard Friend?
No, I'm not. Hey, you're quiet, Mike.
Am I?
Yeah, you ain't hardly said a word all evening.
Oh, feeling me age, I suppose.
Oh, dear.
Birthday blues, is it?
Yeah, something like that.
Right, you three are clear.
Sorry?
You can go. I'll spend the rest of the evening working with the children. Oh. And while you're out, just concentrate, please, on getting... Well, merry, right?
There's an offer I can't refuse, eh, Tony?
Yeah, sounds good to me. Mike?
What?
Well, you heard the director. We're taking you for a drink. Right, Neil?
Yeah, right.
Oh, I don't know, Tony. I don't reckon I'll be much company tonight.
Yeah, well, I do. It's your birthday and you need cheering up.
Yeah, come on, mate. Besides, Sid's putting the finishing touches to the Christmas lights at the ball. Oh. It's a big switch on next week. We can have a laugh hearing him swear at the electrics.
Yeah, well, why not, eh? You're only 50 once, after all. Right, let's go get that drink, right?
Yeah. Maid Marian can't possibly say that. It's much too bawdy. So who can?
Oh, Lindy. Are you going to be long?
What?
On the computer. You're going to be long on the computer.
Robert, you can see I'm busy.
Well, I plan to use it, you see.
Can't you just use a laptop?
You know I had to take it in to be repaired last week.
Well, then, can you wait a couple of minutes?
I do rather need to start work.
Does it have to be work on the computer?
Lindy, I earn my living designing software, so yes, really.
There's no need to be facetious, Robert.
I didn't think I was.
I simply meant that you're forever telling me you never have time to do the admin work. Why not do some of that now? Give me a few minutes more. I've been saying you were going to check through those bank statements for weeks.
What are you doing there?
Trying to rewrite this blessed pantomime script.
Well, it's a bit late for that now, isn't it? We open in a couple of weeks. Most people have started learning their lines.
Yes, I know. That's part of my problem.
How do you mean?
Well, they should all be word perfect by now, but I might have to change their lines. It's very unprofessional.
Well, why are you doing it?
I'm just seeing if there's a way I can get rid of Alan Adale. I thought if I distributed his lines amongst the other characters, it'd save me having to cast him.
I see. Well, weren't you going to ask Roy Tucker?
Yes, I was. But apart from the fact that I can never get him to stand still for 5 minutes to ask him, he's been wandering round Grey Gables with a face like thunder for the past few days.
Well, you know why, don't you? Tony told me. Kate's gone tomorrow.
Yes, I have heard, Robert. Anyway, net result is that I've got enough trouble with my band of not-so-merry men without having to deal with an unhappy minstrel on stage as well.
Farewell. I suppose there are one or two things I could get on with for the time being.
Thank you, Robert.
Now, bank statements. Yeah.
So, if little John says, "Buy my beard, brave Robin Hood, who would do such a thing to such poor young innocents?" And then Friar Tuck can say, "Robert, will you please stop that awful whining noise?"
Just humming to myself, that's all.
Well, don't. I'm trying to concentrate.
So am I.
Well, then, if you could just see your way to doing it without making Greensleeve sound like the latest Harrison Burt whistle, I'd be very grateful.
Man can't even hum in his own office.
It's like I said, Robert, there's humming and there's whining. Right. So then, Friar Tuck. Oh, that's a thought. Perhaps we can call him Friar Tucker. Oh, no, I can't give Mike that line. He actually has to smile when he says it. Robert, please.
Sorry?
Can you hear yourself? Talk about tone deaf.
Ha! Thanks very much. Look, Lindy, I really do need to use a computer, and you're not going to be able to solve the problems of the script in a couple of minutes, are you?
It's no good anyway. Alan Adale's too heavily woven into the plot to be just extricated. This is all a complete waste of time.
What are you going to do?
Press gang Roy Tucker and force him to be cheerful about it, I suppose. I've no other choice.
Good. Does that mean I can have my computer back?
So, what do you think?
Oh, I think you're right. This is definitely the right place for them. It's good, light, free-draining land.
Thought you'd agree.
No, I'm just saying, if we're going for pig ox, this is the field.
Oh, come on, you're not still sulking that we all voted against you.
I resent that. I'm not sulking. I'm worried, that's all. Investing that kind of money to expand a potential loss-making enterprise.
We'll be competitive. We just have to be organised.
Too right. We have to be organised from the word go.
We are being. It's all under control with the pigs, just like it is with the lamb.
Good. Then I'll try and stop worrying. Oh, and talking of the lamb, Debbie's come up with an idea.
Well, yeah?
Mm-hmm. She reckons we should go to one of the restaurants supplied by our abattoir. She suggests Mont Blanc. We can sample their lamb, see what we're up against quality-wise.
Sounds good to me. When's she free?
Well, actually, we thought tonight.
Will we get a table at this short notice?
Sorted.
Your mum okay to babysit?
Mm-hmm. Asked her this morning. I mean, she wasn't going to say no. It is work, after all.
I don't know. Spending an evening in Mont Blanc. If that's work, I'll have more of it, please.
Simon will be coming as well, of course.
Ah, I knew there had to be a downside.
Oh, he's all right.
I'm not sure I fancy spending a whole evening with him. Still, work's work, after all.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
Oh, I've gone and organised all this. I just realised I've got a panto rehearsal this evening.
Oh, someone's going to be in Linda's bad books, then.
Oh, well. I'll just have to be in her bad books.
Have you told her about Christmas yet?
No, I haven't actually.
David!
Well, she's always busy.
Look, I should go to the rehearsal tonight. You want to keep on the right side of it or she'll moan about you going to Prudder.
Well, I can't go to rehearsal and Mont Blanc. Table's booked for 8.
That's okay. I'll meet up with Debbie and Simon. You can leave early and join us at the restaurant.
Yeah, looks like I'll have to, doesn't it?
That Neil's van.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, don't mention expanding the pigs to him. I know Dad hasn't offered him anything yet. Hi, Neil. Cold enough for you?
Yeah. Tis a bit parky, isn't it? Hiya, Ruth.
Hello, Neil. You all right?
Mm?
You look a bit rough.
Oh, yeah. I overdid it a bit at the ball last night.
Was this the Mike Tucker impromptu birthday thing?
Yeah.
I heard he was really putting it away.
Yeah, and Betty, once she finally caught up with him, she said she needed a drink after the day she'd had. Did them good to have a night out. I think they really enjoyed themselves. Listen, you aren't likely to see Shula at all, are you?
Yes, actually, she's bringing Daniel over to tea later on. Why?
Well, I just wondered if you could pass a message on. If you see her before I do, that is. Got some news.
What's this, then?
Well, Janet's had a call from a BBC producer. They want the Ambridge Bells to be part of the Millennium Bell Ring on Radio 4.
Oh!
Blimey. They're going to come and record them.
Roy! Roy!
Yippee.
Oh, Roy, at last. You're a hard man to track down sometimes.
Yeah, well, I've been busy.
Roy, I need your help. The pantomime is taking shape and looking really good, but I have a problem. I'm one character short.
Now, if you're going to say what I think you're going to say...
I'd like you to play Alan Adale, one of the best roles, a merry man and a singing part, crucial to the whole shape of the play. What do you say?
That's easy.
Good.
No, thanks.
Marvellous. Rehearsals... What?
I said no. I've got too much to think about just now.
Yes, yes. Look, word has got round that you're going through a rather hard time at the moment, Roy. But, well, the panto could be a way to take your mind off things.
Linda.
Also, this is the last big village event of the millennium. Think about that. In years to come, you'll be able to say to your children that you... Oh. Oh, look, I am sorry, Roy. I wasn't thinking.
It's all right. To be honest with you, Linda, these millennium celebrations leave me cold at the moment. I thought I was going to be seen in the new year with my daughter. Now that's right out, isn't it?
So no news then?
Oh, nothing. Not a letter, not a phone call, I mean, not even a postcard.
Dear.
Come December 31st, I reckon I'll be lucky if I know where Phoebe is.
Yes, I do appreciate how difficult things are, but...
But that isn't the only reason I'm saying no. You see, I'm one of the few poor so-and-sos who's got to work over Christmas. Christmas Eve, I'll be over at Grey Gables till around midnight. Now, you open then, don't you?
Yes, yes, I'm afraid we do.
Well, if I did want to do your show, which I don't, you'd have to let me off opening night. I think you'd have a problem there, Linda, even with your organisational skills.
Ah, tis you, foul rug-a-plug.
Ah, me, tis Will Scarlet. Come forth and fight like a man. I am armed with my trusty sword.
I have my quarterstaff. Have at you!
Oh, look, this is pathetic.
You're not kidding.
David, Neil, can I just interrupt? Is there anything you need urgently on the props front?
Robert, are you blind or something?
Sorry?
Well, of course there are things we need.
I mean, have you not noticed us attempting to rehearse a stage fight with two rolled-up copies of The Telegraph?
Ah.
I wonder what you were doing. I thought you were just, you know, mucking about.
Well, we're not mucking about, thank you very much. I need a proper sword.
I need a quarterstaff.
Yeah, of course, right. Let me just get that down. As a reminder, one sword... One quarter staff, no problem. Should have them sorted in a couple of days.
Look, what is Linda doing, Robert? She's been talking to Jolene for ages.
I think she's sorting out what music's been used for Emma's solo dance.
Oh, I see. Fair enough.
Right, everybody. Oh, do be quiet, please. Thank you. Right, we'll do the next scene from Act 2 in a couple of minutes, people. I just want to sort out something with Emma first.
Linda, before you do, can I have a quick word?
Yes, what is it?
I need to leave in a few minutes.
Why?
I've got a business meeting at hand.
At 7:30 in the evening? Where?
At Mont Blanc, actually.
What, the restaurant? Ooh,
nice work, if you can get it.
Look, it really is a business meeting, Linda, honestly.
Oh, very well. If you can just stay until we've done the next big scene. In the meantime, I'll just have a quick word with Emma.
There was something else. I thought I ought to warn you. Ruth, myself and the kids will be going to her parents for Christmas.
Don't they live in the northeast?
Northumberland, yes.
So how are you going to manage? The first night show won't come down until around 10.
Yeah, well, what we're going to do is we're going to bung the kids in the car and then drive off straight afterwards. They'll love it. I've told them Father Christmas will follow us all the way. And their stockings will get filled up just the same as usual.
Oh, that's nice.
They're going to look out for the reindeer as we go along.
Lovely.
Never mind all that. What about the show on the 27th?
Ah, well, that's when we plan to come back. So we should be here in plenty of time.
Oh, you'd be cutting it a bit fine, wouldn't you?
No, we should be all right.
Should be, David. What happens if you break down or something?
Ah, well, that's why I'm warning you now, just in case we're a bit late on the night. You know, miss the, what's it called?
The half. No. I'm sorry, David, I can't possibly agree to that. Every performer needs to be ready half an hour before the show for your warm-up.
Mm, and I'm sure we will be, weather and traffic permitting. Oh. I just thought I'd warn you, you know, in case we did get delayed.
And what am I supposed to do then?
Look, it isn't going to happen, Linda, OK? There'll be hardly any traffic. I just thought I'd...
Very well. I can see you're going to do it anyway.
Well, I think it's important to see Ruth's parents at Christmas. But don't worry. I'll be here on time.
This really is turning into one of those days for me. Oh, look at the time. Could I have a little quiet, please, everybody? Right, I'd like to move straight on while we've still got David. And I'll see you later, Emma. So now, it's the next scene in Act 2, everybody.
Oh,
well, what's the matter now?
There's another scene with Alan and Dale. That's all we seem to do.
It does seem a bit pointless when he hasn't been cast yet, Linda.
Now, listen, everybody. Alan and Dale have been cast. Oh. As from this moment on, the part will be played by Robert.
What?
Now, positions, everyone, please.
Oh, you kept that quiet, Robert.
Yeah, nice one. I'll see you on stage, mate.
Linda, since when? Since now, Robert. But before you say anything, I didn't have any choice. Roy turned me down flat this afternoon.
But for goodness sake, he's a minstrel. He has to sing and play the guitar.
Needs must, Robert. We'll just have to find a way round it.
Lindy, think. It's ridiculous. Only this morning you reminded me I'm tone deaf.
Well, you sang Green Sleeves very nicely. But not to worry, not to worry. With some smart direction and some fine-tuning of the script, everything will work out perfectly. I'm sure it will.
Blimey, it's brass monkeys out there.
You left Joe with the milking again.
Yeah, he don't mind. Meanwhile, I thought I'd have... What are you doing?
I'm sewing. What's it look like? Just getting this bit mended before I go to the dairy.
Well, you can see you're sewing, love. I was just wondering what. Oh, want a cup of tea?
No, Tom. It's Father Christmas outfit for Joe. It's so old.
What's Dad want with that?
Says he wants to wear it for the Christmas farmer's market next week. I borrowed it off old Mrs. Pearson in the WI. Her late husband used to use it for charity functions, I think.
Looks a bit moth-eaten, doesn't it?
Yeah. Bit of patching to do. I'll fix it up all right, though.
Looks more brown than red.
Oi, don't start criticising you. If Joe wants to inject a bit of Christmas spirit into what he does, then that's fine with me.
Oh, daft old bigot. Just as long as he ain't giving nothing away, we ain't got nothing left to give.
Ian, don't you get too comfortable. There's mistletoe and Ollie needs cutting if you ain't busy. Make us a few bob, that will.
Just having a cutter, then I'll be on my way, all right?
You looked at the postage?
No.
Go on, then.
What for? I can see you've already opened it.
Yeah, and there's something I want you to have a look at. That brown envelope. Go on.
Oh, no, not another bill.
Just have a look.
Clary.
Eddie.
I can really do without this, you know. Blimey. Check. Flipping necky for that contract I did in September.
You thought we'd kiss that one goodbye, didn't we?
Yeah. Oh, Buck was having a hell of a time. But when I started chasing him, he told me he was going to the wall. I thought, that's it. I can whistle for me money.
Still paid up in the end, didn't he?
Well, I'm blown.
Yeah. Now, my advice to you, Eddie Grundy, is forget that cup of tea, get your backside in the van, go down to Borchester and get that damn thing in the bank before it self-destructs.
Oh, but the kettle's just boiled.
I don't want it sitting there a moment longer than it has to, and I want some cash in the bank.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Cover what's left to pay her the rent, this will. Hey, I told you something would turn up, didn't I?
You did, love. Now, go on, get your coat on.
Right, keys.
On the side.
Oh, if anybody wants me, tell them I'm delivering a message from my financial benefactor.
You daft thing. Oh, and on your way back, pop in the shop for us, would you?
Sure, what you want?
I want you to go and get them flaming bottles of apple brandy and bring them home.
Oh, Clary, love.
Don't Clary love me. Betty ain't allowed to sell them and it's getting embarrassing. Sorry, she's got enough on her plate at the moment.
Look, Joe Woolley's working there. If we leave him in the shop long enough, he might just cough up the cash for him.
Jack Woolley? He's used to drinking 12-year-old malt scotch and such like, Eddie. If you think he's going to shell out for your homemade rocket fuel, I reckon you've got another thing coming.
Yeah, that's good quality stuff, that
Eddie.
Is. All right, all right. I'll go to the bank first. See you.
See you. There. That's that, then. At least there's one Santa Claus coming to town.
So, when David left, Linda was getting Jolene to hear Robert sing a few scales and things to see if she could get him in tune.
Oh, what, in front of the whole class?
So David said.
Great, poor Robert.
Anyway, David made it to your posh meal, OK?
Certainly did, and very nice it was too.
Well, I say it's all right for some, don't you,
Ruth? Yes, you call that working, Ruth, aren't you?
It was work, honestly.
It's 2.50 change, Ruth.
Thanks.
Eating in a place like the Mont Blanc, in what way?
It was research. I mean, it'd probably be pretty unpleasant if you didn't happen to like lamb.
And do you?
Love it.
See?
So, how did their lamb measure up?
Well, it was good, but I reckon we can do better.
Confidence.
I have to be, don't I? No one else will do it for me.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, anyway, better get back to the old grind. Got some calf pens that won't scrape themselves.
Oh!
Bye now.
Bye, Ruth.
Bye.
You all right over there, love? Need any help?
Oh, no, I'm just picking up some dog food for Charlie. Marjorie said she was running me round. No Mr. Woolley today?
Oh, and there's not going to be any more either. It was being more of a hindrance than a help.
Oh, dear.
No. I've had to have a quiet word with Mrs. Woolley, and she's going to let him down gently, and she says she'll help out till we can get someone else in.
All right.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hello, Hayley. Didn't see you back there. Just these, please, Mum.
You on your way to work?
Yeah.
What about your lunch? 27p, please.
That is me lunch.
What? A bag of crisps? Right.
Don't start on me, Mum. I'm not in the mood.
To eat more than this.
Look, I can probably get something in the kitchen at Grey Gables, but let's not get into a row about it, OK?
I'm not getting into a row.
Well, let me look after my own diet, OK?
Just stop being so grouchy.
All right. I'm sorry.
By the way, Linda told me to give you a message. She says not to worry, she solved her casting problem.
Imagine my relief.
Right. That's a lot, Betty.
Right, you are?
Look, I better get going.
Tell you what, you don't fancy a drink in the ball tonight, do you? I could do with something to cheer me up.
Really? Never a guest. No, sorry. I would love to. I could do with getting a bit myself. I tell you what, I'll buy the first round.
Oh, great. I'll see you there about seven, yeah?
Seven it is. Look forward to it.
Right then. Bye, Mum.
Bye. See ya.
Well, don't envy you your job tonight, Hayley.
Hmm?
Well, that's £10.70, please.
Your job? There you go. Oh,
trying to get Roy to cheer up. There, that's 30 change.
Yeah, well, he's obviously pretty down at the moment, and we all know why, of course.
Well, to be quite honest, I'm worried about him. As well as being worried about Phoebe, and how I'm going to manage this place now Her Majesty's decided to take flight.
Oh, I could murder Kate, I really could.
Oh, you and me both, Hayley. Poor Roy's done nothing but mope round the house since the weekend. When he's not working, that is. But he's certainly not bothered with his studies. If he keeps this up, he's going to fall behind. Then what's going
to
happen?
Well, I'll talk to him. Don't worry. I don't see why his life should be ruined by Kate's selfishness.
Evening, love of my life.
What you doing here?
What do you think I'm doing here? Friday, innit? I'll have a pint of Shiras, please, Clary.
Hey, now, hang on. Wait a minute. Just because we've had a bit of good fortune, don't mean you can blow it all on beer.
Who's talking about blowing anything? Oh, come on, Clary, love. Just one pint. I mean, it's not as if I didn't earn the money, is it?
Oh, all right, then. Just the one. Not only because it's Friday, morning.
Thanks, love. Got a surprise for you when you get in.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
Well, if you want, you can go into our front parlour.
That's big of you.
Put your feet up and watch the telly. What do you think of that?
Don't be daft. By the time I get in after I've finished here, I'll just about be able to get up the stairs. I'll be that shattered. I always am. Besides, there's nothing on at that time of night that I want to... Hey, hang on. Telly? What do you mean, telly?
Yep.
For our telly's over at Tony and Pat's. Just in case the you-know-who decide to call again.
Not anymore, it ain't. It's back in our front room, along with the video. I went over to Bridge Farm and brought them back myself. Good, innit?
Eddie, are you sure that's wise? There you go.
Come on, Clary, love. I thought you'd be pleased. We got our telly back.
Well, I have to admit, I were getting a bit tired with Joe's stories about the good old days. Do pendulum, mate.
Dad told me that one about the very first tractor in Ambridge, or how he done his back in stone picking one more time, I'd have swung for him. I swear I would.
Yeah, but the point is, the bailiffs could come over any time, couldn't they? They could still come and take it all the way.
Oh, don't be daft. It's December, isn't it?
Oh, I wish I had your confidence, Eddie.
Look, the admin people will be on a practical go-slow from now until January, so whatever's going to happen won't happen till after the holidays, will it? Besides, we've got the milk money coming in next week.
Oh, that's true, I suppose. Hey, you put that cheque in the bank like I said, didn't you? Oh,
of course I did. So it looks like we're going to have a decent Christmas after all.
Your mum says you've been a bit down.
A bit? Yeah, well, that's a classic understatement if I ever heard one.
All right, then, very down.
You know what my average day's been like this last week? I wake up, I'm feeling fairly cheerful because I'm hoping, I'm praying, you know, that today's the day I'm going to hear something. Then the postman comes and I go rushing downstairs like a kid on his birthday to see what's there. And of course, you know, there's the usual array of bills and circulars and prize draws telling Dad he's won £1 million on the map, but nothing else. And it's usually downhill from there.
Look, Kate will have to get in touch soon.
Will she? Why? I mean, let's be realistic. She should be there by now. She promised faithfully she'd get in touch. It doesn't take much to put a stamp on a postcard.
Look, you know, Kate, she'll run out of money or something, and she'll be straight on the phone to Brian wanting to bail her out.
You don't understand, Hayley. You weren't around when she went missing before. She was gone for 6 months, never a word to anyone, not even her parents or Debbie. And even now, if she did call her mum and dad, there's no guarantee they'd say anything if she told them not to.
Come on.
No, seriously, Hayley. I mean, they're really hacked off with me for not telling them she was going. I wouldn't blame them. I'm hacked off with me too.
Oh, look, you shouldn't blame yourself.
But I could have stopped her, Hayley. I could have phoned Usha or run up to Home Farm or just simply locked the door and told her she wasn't taking Phoebe, but I didn't. I should have done, but I didn't.
So why didn't you?
Because, well, she asked me to trust her. I mean, no one ever trusts Kate, do they? And just for once, I thought, Well, up to now, she'd been a really good mum to Phoebe. And what's more, she'd let me be a good dad to her. I thought I had to trust her. It wasn't fair otherwise.
Oh, Roy, I'm sorry.
Not half as sorry as I am. How can I have been so stupid?
I'm so annoyed with her.
You and me both.
Well, when she does eventually show her face here, she's going to get a piece of my mind, I can tell you.
If, you mean?
No, I don't. You have to keep positive, Roy.
Yeah. Got something to show you.
Oh!
See?
Oh, that's lovely. When was it taken?
Oh, the tree planting thing last week.
Oh, yes. I saw Mr. Barford out collecting seedlings, the next one in January. Oh, that's a really lovely photo, Roy. Who took it?
Marjorie, with my camera. There we are. Daddy and Phoebe. Phoebe and Daddy. We had such a good day. Look, you can see she's covered in mud, poor little thing. But she just loved it.
Oh, Roy. I know it sounds so weak to say keep your chin up, but I just...
It's all I've got left. This photo. It's all I've got left of her. Hayley, I don't know if I'm going to see her again. Ever.
The Archers was written by Peter Kerry and the agricultural story editor was Graham Harvey. It was directed in our Pebble Mill studios by Alec Reed and the editor is Vanessa Whitburn.